Today's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. New International Version, Jew and Gentile are reconciled through Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly, who you are Gentiles by Christ and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who you once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made the two groups one, and he destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law and its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace.
And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put their death, their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of his apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, greetings from my isolation unit, also known as my office. I didn't expect to be doing this again. Unfortunately, back in the day when I used to record sermons from my study, I had all the equipment around me, stands and to put the camera on, screens and stuff. This is a bit makeshift today, but hopefully nothing will fall down and hopefully things will be reasonably okay. I have actually stepped in to cover for someone else this week, thinking COVID only lasts a couple of days, I'll be perfectly all right. I didn't realise the brain fog would last quite as long. So maybe this will be a bit shorter talk than normal, as you all hope, no doubt. There is a massive irony that as we work through Ephesians, today's title is One in Christ, and we're focusing on unity on the day when we are scattered. Verse 13 says, those who were far away have been brought near. Sadly, at the moment, those who have been brought near have now been scattered far away. Before I pray, I just want to bring you a parable from Adrian Plass. It's a silly story, but I think it has hidden truths. Remember, parables are fictional stories designed to make a little bit of a point. So this is about a church situation in America. It's actually an interview between two people. We started off as the citywide church of faith, hope and love, but half of us got upset over a doctrinal difference. Doctrinal difference was that the musical director insisted on one colour of choir robes and we wanted a different colour. So we left to start our own church called the Faith Community Church of Hope and Love. But then the issue of communion came up, whether we used wafers or bread. So on principle, half of us marched off to become the neighbourhood church of hope and love. You lost faith, we notice. They had to. Community church took out a court injunction, so we couldn't have faith. By that time, we didn't need it anyway. Then a group of us became angry when the pastor began doing announcements at the beginning of the service instead of the traditional place before the offering was taken, so we left to become the True Believers Assembly of Hope and Love. True believers? Yes, when you get to be that small, you figure it's because the Lord is weeding out the chaff. Then we lost a section of our congregation because they backslid and returned to Citywide Church. And to avoid confusion, we put up a sign saying, under new management, and became the House of Love. By this time, we lost hope. It didn't last. We had to change it because we were getting all the right people for the wrong reasons. Sailors, out-of-town executives, that kind of thing. And then what became of the church? Now, says the pastor, it's just me, the home cell of Unified Saint. I meet in my living room. I had a business meeting the other night and I elected myself pastor. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that we are united in Christ and he is the head of the church. I pray that as we think about that this morning, you would come by your Spirit, inspire my speaking and inspire our hearing. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage from Ephesians 2 is about bringing Gentiles and Jews together because they were a group that just at the first century would not meet. Jews considered Gentiles unclean, and that's what's going on there in verses 11 to 13. It's actually a very simple passage because what Paul then says is through the cross, the dividing wall of hostility has been knocked down. He says that in verse 14 and verse 13 as well. The two groups become one because both have access to the Father through Jesus. The new covenant is open to all. And together a new household is created, a new building. Not the physical temple in Jerusalem, but a temple made of people. A dwelling place for God, a place where God can be by his Spirit. And that temple has Jesus as the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the really important stone in the building because it sets the direction. If you get the cornerstone in the wrong direction, the rest of the wall goes in the wrong direction. If we actually stay aligned to the cornerstone, we will go in the right direction. We're also told that the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of this new temple, this holy temple. The apostles, the ones sent out with the good news. And the prophets, the one who hear from God and speak out who God is. But how is this relevant to us in the 21st century? Because the presenting problem for us is not the Jew-Gentile divide. But of course there are other dividing walls. I came across a week or so ago a guy called John Yates, who's written a book called A Fractured, and talks about the fact that we all have bubbles in our lives, and so often the bubbles don't mix. So his story, this is his story, but we can probably relate to it. He grew up in Plymouth, and Plymouth in Devon's pretty cut off from the rest of the country. He went to study in Oxford, thought, well, I'll move out of that bubble, and then discovered that he was in one bubble that defined itself against not being the other bubble, gown versus town. After university, he went to live in Newham in London, a very mixed community, and thought, great, we're moving out of our bubbles. But then discovered there were four distinct communities that didn't really mix. They stayed in their bubble. The kind of white working class, the Afro-Caribbean, the Asian, and then the white middle class, the yuppies as we used to call them. He then went to work for a management consultancy, which was very ethnically mixed, and thought, great, I've burst out of another bubble, but then realised that everyone there was well off. Another bubble. He went to Nairobi in Kenya and was there at the time of an election, and then discovered that actually there were two tribes and there was great violence between the two tribes as each lived in their bubble and there was no mixing. And to cut a long story short, he started a program with some other people, and some of the things that came out of that were results like people saying, I've made a white friend for the first time. I now know a black person for the first time. It was all about meeting people who are other. Did you know that half of the people, apparently research says, half the people who have degrees, all their friends have degrees. Most pensioners have no contact with anyone under 35 outside of their immediate family. Half the people in the country have no friends from other ethnic backgrounds. A quarter of those who voted Leave in the referendum and a quarter of those who voted Remain in the referendum have no friends from the opposite camp. Research shows that we have a small, constant bias towards people who are like us. So what about bursting some bubbles? The church surely should be the one institution that bursts bubbles. It has implications for how we reach out beyond people like us with the good news of the gospel. And that's why it's so important when there are what I might call bridgeheads, people who have a foothold into a different community. But given that our current series is about belonging and about creating a community of disciples, then what lessons does this passage have for us? Does the church burst these bubbles? Well, at one level, yes. And I rejoice in that fact. Our church is made up of people of vastly different ages, different life stages. One of the reasons it's so important that we have life groups in our church is that they're a mixture of ages and stages. You can have someone in their 20s or in their teens, you can have someone in their 80s or 90s in the same group. And I know sometimes that's possibly infuriating because it isn't as easy being with people who aren't necessarily like us, but it's so enriching. And surely at the heart of what the gospel is about, the heart of what Paul is talking about in this passage. So at one level, yeah, I think we do a great job of bursting bubbles. But I think we also do need to ask ourselves some questions. Who do we sit next to when we're in the church building? And I know we're not doing that today. Who do we talk to? Who are the people we instinctively invite into our homes or into our church community? We all need community. Again, that's at the heart of the gospel. So much of the New Testament is written to churches, to groups of people, not to individuals. The community is better if we have different parts of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 is a whole chapter devoted to that sense of recognising how different we all are and how enriched we are by that difference. I came across this quote. There is no better way to diminish a personality than to isolate it. There is no better way to diminish a personality than to isolate it. Believe it or not, that was a quote from Princess Diana. But how true, and how much that's been an issue over these last 18 months. I know I'm lucky, I'm theory here in isolation, but I'm isolation in my study and in our guest room. I'm still sharing a house with others, even though I've got to be careful to avoid them so as not to pass on this dreaded virus. But actually, isolation has been a major, major issue. And may well continue to be an issue. This passage is not only about getting rid of dividing walls of hostility. I believe it's about just the creation of community. Becoming a place where anyone and everyone can belong. This week, this Sunday, today, as you listen to this, we're all on our sofas or our armchairs or our kitchen tables or whatever it is. But today's an aberration. It's a necessary aberration. I think it's the right decision. And the last 18 months have been an aberration. They're not the best. I came across this from a church leader in Iowa called Jeff McNeil. And I'm going to quote it at some length. He says, as online services become very convenient, and who doesn't love not getting ready in the morning or leaving the home, he says, it's important to remember why church attendance for you and your family matters so much. You can't serve from your sofa. You can't have community of faith on your sofa. You can't experience the power of a room full of believers worshipping together on your sofa. Christians aren't consumers. We are contributors. We don't watch. We engage, we give, we sacrifice, We encourage. We do life together. The church needs you, and you need the church. It's in the local church where you and your family can be part of the community and use your talents to advance the kingdom and reach others. To come alongside one another physically, not just through a screen. While I'm grateful for technology to keep people connected that can't physically come to a facility or need to be away, it's absolutely not like being in the building. It never will be. Yes, church on the sofa is nice. It'll never be the same as church in the sanctuary. I thought those were really powerful words. On a day like today, when we are separated, and I know that for some you still remain separated, even as we've been coming back into the building, and I recognise the mini outbreak that we've had over the last couple of weeks isn't exactly going to give courage to coming back into the building. Hopefully it is a salutary reminder that this thing hasn't gone away and that we need to carry on being cautious. But when this latest scare has passed, if you can at all get to the building, then I do encourage you to get there. Serve, grow, give, worship. As Jeff McNeil goes on to say, online is awesome, in person is better and necessary. Get off your sofa and get into the house of God with your family. I thought it was a lovely way of summing it up. I'll say it again. Online is awesome. In person is better and necessary. Get off the sofa and get into the house of God with your family. It's for that reason that I've encouraged us all to try and watch and engage with this service today at the same time. If you're someone who normally attends the 10 o'clock service, I hope and pray that you're engaging with this at 10 o'clock. If you're someone who is at the 6, then you're engaging with this at 6 o'clock. Hence the encouragement to join in with a Zoom meeting, a Zoom coffee, whatever we want to call it, after this, at either 11:15 or at both 11:15 and 7:15. Because when building community is hard, then we just need to all work a little bit harder to try to do it. As I suggested in my email earlier in the week, maybe this is a way of trying to express church differently, phoning some people you wouldn't necessarily phone. It's where life groups are so important, because they're a small group of people that you can be more open with, or at least find some other way of connecting with other people. I'm going to stop now and just have a little bit of space for God to impress upon us what is he wants us to take from this morning. As we rejoice in the fact that those who have been brought away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And we're being made into this new, exciting, vibrant community. And it's through the community of the local church that we can truly change the wider community. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would come by your Spirit. Meet us where we are. Whatever sofa or armchair or kitchen table we're at. And in ways that go beyond understanding, would you unite us afresh? Would you draw close to us? And in drawing close to us, help us to draw close to others. Forgive us, Lord, for where we've been too comfortable to stay in our little bubbles. Give us grace to reach beyond. To those not like us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.